Our next speaker is Dr. Frieda Fulcombe. She is a quality assurance manager at the Illinois Department of Public Health. She previously served as the Illinois Asthma Program Manager. Her postdoctoral research was on cancer epidemiology, and she had obtained her PhD from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Okay, Dr. Fulcombe.
This is my first APHA meeting and the first time coming also presenting, so it's quite an experience. And what I want to say is that childhood lead poisoning is one of the most preventable environmental health problems that exist, and it's been significantly decreased through tracking, policy, and outreach. However, there are some states that continue to still have children with very elevated lead levels in their system. And the state of Illinois is one of such states that has a significant, is always rated amongst one of the highest, with the highest number of children with lead poisoning. And for this presentation, I have no relationships to disclose. That's a busy slide. So today for our presentation, the presentation is to evaluate the outcome of the Illinois Lead Program using the CDC framework for program evaluation. And the funding was provided by the CDC and part of state funding. The goals and objectives of the Illinois Lead Programs are three based. One is to prevent childhood lead poisoning. Second is to identify children who are lead poisoned through screening and mandatory, because they have laws, you know, the state laws have that they have to screen children before they go to licensed daycares or schools before the age of five. And the third is to intervene. And they intervene through either case management or they actually do environmental investigation. Then most of the data that will be presented today is from the Illinois Lead Program surveillance data, and we also use national sources of data like the census and the enhanced data for comparative measures and CDC data. And the analysis, you know, we did like a process and outcome program evaluation. So the results we're going to see is that even though Illinois has been rated as one of the states with the highest lead poisoning, they've done a significant and a commendable job to drop the lead level from 45,000 children in 1996 to 3,000 in 2010. So the mission of the Illinois Lead Program is to eliminate the incidence of childhood lead poisoning. And you know the incidence depends on the level of intervention. We know there is no safe level of lead poisoning. For this program, during this time frame, that is from 1995 to 2010, we use the level of public health intervention of 10 and above. But we know, as of last year, 2012, the level of intervention was cut down to 5 micrograms per deciliter. And you know, they cut it down, but the funding went down. So it's kind of it's scary. So the three goals we have to prevent through education and awareness, identify through screening, and intervene through case management, nursing home visits, environmental inspection. And so this is the framework that we use for the intervention. I went to a previous presentation and they use the exact same framework. So it's kind of a popular framework. And you know, it goes in a cycle. So we have first, we have to engage our stakeholders, which for the Illinois, it's like their partners, because we depend a lot on the stakeholders. Then what does the program do from the advice from the stakeholders. Then the evaluation method. So in this case, the evaluation is the program doing the right thing, or are the right, that is, are the right things done, or are they doing the right things, you know? And we gather a lot of information. By law, all blood lead tests have to be reported to the Department of Public Health. Whether they are elevated or not elevated, they are supposed to be reported by the labs, by the healthcare providers who do the service, even those who use like desktop analyzers in their clinics. So, and the conclusion is, how has the Illinois Lead Program succeeded in decreasing lead, the number of lead poisoned children in the state? And some conclusions. So this is just a maze. You know, what is a program evaluation without a logic model? But it's always a roadmap. You know, we always have to have a roadmap. We have the stakeholders, then we have the goals. So if you look at the top line, we have the stakeholders. So we have various stakeholders, and then the goals, and then the activities and outcome. But I won't, that is the presentation is dependent on this logic model. And it looks like this is the wrong. Oh, okay. So the effect of blood lead, you know, the effect of blood lead, it affects children differently from adults. You know, for children, they have a small body size, their brains are still developing, they have an active hand-to-mouth activity. But for so if you look at the bottom, in the middle aisle, we have 10. So the higher the blood level, the higher the dangers that are caused. So for children, you know, it affects their brain, it decreases IQ, it has been related to attention deficit syndrome, even to high delinquency, juvenile delinquency, and sometimes the higher the level, it can cause death in children. And it also has an effect on adults, just like the first presentation we had. So, public health has had, we know there is no safe level of lead. There is just none. But somehow, there is a level for public health intervention. And this level for public health intervention has been decreasing through the years. In the 70s, it was 40 micrograms per deciliter. But then in the 90s, it was 10 micrograms per deciliter. And last year, in 2012, they cut down the level of for public health intervention to 5 micrograms per deciliter, which is the current level we have. And so following our frame, the logic model, so the Illinois Lead Programs works very closely with their stakeholders, which includes the citizen. You know, the goal is to provide a lead-safe environment for all children in the state. So the citizens are very important. Then the federal government, they also depend on the federal government for funding, you know, like the CDC, HUD, and then the states, you know, they depend on the state for legislation. The laws have to be passed and things. Then the local government, that's where the delegation, collaboration, and partnership. They depend a lot. You know, they have like delegate agencies that like 102 counties in the state of Illinois. And of those 102 counties, 87 of them are delegated. They have been delegated to do lead poisoning. So we subcontract them for the lead poisoning. Then we also need the universities because we need them for the research and to translate research into public health services, policies, and action. So as stakeholders, they are very varied. You know, we have healthcare professionals, environmental scientists, epidemiologists, LI. So what does the advisory council do for us? You know, one of a major goals of the advisory council was to develop a strategic plan. So the stakeholders were divided into subcommittees, and each of these subcommittees was delegated to come up with two objectives for the Illinois Lead Program. And it's based on those objectives of the program that the Illinois-led program is operating. So we have like the education, there's an education awareness. Somebody, they go out and do trainings in the local health department. We have the primary prevention and screening where they do case management, intervention, clear wind, you know, they actually go out. Then we have resource and regulation work group. And that particular work group, okay. So some of the activities, you know, they mirror the faces of, you know, it mirrors the work groups of this. And this is what the local health departments do. You know, we have the 92 counties out of 102 are delegate agencies. And that has helped a lot. And, you know, I put in this slide because it shows that the blue, Illinois is very, I mean, even look at the transparent line there shows Illinois, the number of lead poisoned kids. It was so high, I mean, compared to the rest of the other countries. And so these are just data quality. And one of the index for lead poisoning is old housing. So in 1978, they did a ban on lead-based paint. And if you look at our maps, you see on the left side of each map, on the right map shows pre-1978 housing, and then the map on the left shows lead poison, where the lead poison children are found. So there's a big correlation between age of housing and we see we have a lot of lead old housing in Chicago, 83%, Illinois, 68%. I mean, we are way above the national average of lead poison. So one important tool that they developed in Illinois was they made the high-risk zip codes where they used the age of housing, age of the child, the poverty level, and it was coordinated with the actual prevalence. So on the right, you have the high-risk zip code, and on the left, you have actual kids. So you see there is almost a 95% correlation, which means there's another 5% which is not due to lead-based paint, but other sources of lead poisoning also exist. And this is where we started with almost 45,000 in 1996, and in 2010, we have 3,000. But then after 2010, we have 2011. Now it has gone up because the lead level has increased. So I put this here because, you know, we still need funding to continue with the job. And you see, laws have done a significant influence on the lead poisoning. So, you know, there was the ban on, we had the pre-1978 gasoline, they reduced gasoline in lead, they removed the can. And then even for plumbing, that is water pipes, 1986 ban on lead pipes and things like that. So you see, there's still a difference between Chicago is our major, if you look at it, Chicago has the highest incidence. This is Chicago, then Illinois, and then the U.S. So you see, we've dropped from 23% to 1.2%. And one other risk factor for lead poisoning is poverty. And we use like Medicaid, children who are in Medicaid, kid care, as a proxy for measuring poverty. And each time there was the Medicaid kids had more lead poisoning than the non-Medicaid kids. But towards the end of the 2010, you see it's almost leveling up to the point where I think the Center for Medicaid now is actually thinking they should just do targeted screening, just like the. And mean blood levels have been decreasing even by age and by year. So if you look at the green is 1995, the blue is 1999. So the bottom one is 2010. So it has been decreasing irrespective of the age of the child. But then the age group is between 1 and 3. That is the peak of lead poisoning in children. So the strategies, we've had primary prevention, secondary prevention, and tertiary prevention. And you know, primary prevention is all of them need education. Secondary prevention is identify and fix. Tertiary is, you know, chelation and quality of life. So, some data quality assurance and some lessons learned is that in Illinois, they've used targeted approach. We're using targeted because limited funding, so we go straight to the population at risk. And then, but the problem is we don't have like an enhanced kind of data where we can do a random sampling to figure out exactly a randomized trial. And we have very limited information on poverty, but the good thing is we're still working on it, and our advisory council is working very closely with us, and we're moving forward, so we're not only doing lead poisoning now, we're doing lead poisoning and healthy homes. So it's a combined program right now. And what it shows is lead poisoning is preventable. The main source is lead-based paint, and it causes a lot of multi-organ disruption. Low-income and African-Americans are most exposed, but management is centered around law, education, prevention, and removal. So I have to acknowledge my office, my director, and the other program people. And I'll be very grateful. Thanks for listening. And